Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Every praise unto our God. Amen. We thank the Lord again for you all being here on this morning. Thank you, praise and worship team, for just setting an atmosphere that is conducive of worship and praise. I don't know about you, but there are times I think that we praise God just because somebody asks us to. But is there anybody who has an unsolicited praise? I mean, you don't have to be pumped. You don't have to be primed, but it's all because of what he's done in your life, that you don't care who's watching, what they're doing. You just want to give God some glory. Amen. For being here in the land of the living. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated at this time. We're going to prepare to go into our service. But I do want to say to the New Life Praise or New Life Ministry family, one thing that I appreciate, and sometimes I think it goes without me telling you, but when I go to different places and I have to minister, and then I look up and there you are in the congregation, and I want to apologize because I guess during my pulpit etiquette, I forgot my church family. Y'all traveled over the dangerous highways to be with us on Friday at the 13th anniversary of Pastor Ricky Wortham and his family and the church family there. But I want you to know I was so excited to pull up there and see y'all there. And thank you, thank you, thank you for being there for me. Amen. Amen. And with that being said, I want to ask you to look at some scriptures. The first one is found in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and also verses 17 through 19 in the same chapter. And then would you mark that and look at Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 21. And when you have those scriptures, if you wouldn't mind, could you rest on your feet as we stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God? And if you're unable to stand for whatever reason, we understand. So please, sir, ma'am, keep your seat. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, starting at verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and remnant, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, somebody say, the love of money, is the root of all evil, which some covenant after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, in other words, arrogant, snooty, nor trust in uncertain riches, because you do know the stock market drops, don't you? But in the living God who giveth us richly, and I need you to get this, he giveth us richly all things. Somebody say all. All means all, and that's all it means. He gives it to us richly to enjoy. Amen. And verse 18 says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. See, God didn't give you the wealth that he's given you for you to be tight-fisted, but to distribute and willing to communicate. And again, that word communicate here is meaning to give out. Verse 19 says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. Some say a good foundation. Against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, now I need you to get a hold of this. Wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But you got to understand, wherever your treasure is, that means your wishes, your desires, that which your life centers around, that's where it'll be. Father, we bless you and we thank you. For Lord, you brought and you assembled, Lord, these people today. For Lord, nothing else but a word from you. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need a word from you because without it, Lord, we don't know what to do. So Lord, please help us not just to be a hearer, but to be a doer of your word. And Lord, as always, Lord, please anoint your servant. Lord, I need your anointing because it's through your anointed word that hearts are convicted. Souls are, Lord, changed. And people, Lord, delivered. When all these things are said and done, remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let everyone say in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Please allow me just to read to you again the scriptures in Matthew. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. The last, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In the remaining time that I have, I want to minister to you from this thought, investing for eternity. Now turn to that person next to you and say, neighbor, how's your investments? God bless you. You may be seated. Investing for eternity. There are two words I like to define that's in our thought. One of them is the word investing and the other is eternity. When one invests, that means it's to give or devote time, talent, and money, etc. As for the purpose of achieving something. You see, it's something you want to get out of your investment. Hello. And then when we look at the word eternity, ever, all time, infinite, or unending time, perpetuity. And that word perpetuity, there's some synonyms that go along with it, which are everlasting, timelessness, and limitlessness. Now, as we think about investing, it must be investing with an eternal perspective, which keeps us from negative returns. You know, those returns, that's the things you make or lose on an investment. And we need to be mindful about it in this life and the life to come. Material riches are regarded by the scripture as neither good or bad in and of itself. But guess what? It's according to how you use it. It's according how God has blessed you and you use the wealth that he's given you. It's according as they are properly or improperly used. Let me give you a scriptural reference. In Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst out with new wine. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 in the ESV version says, one gives free, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffer want. Verse 25, and please get this. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Now, perhaps an account in the book of Luke, the 18th chapter, will cause us to understand better the importance of investing for eternity. And if you look at the scriptures, I think they posted it up. If not, just get your Bible. The Bible says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit life, eternal life? I want you to notice that this person that we're going to be talking about, he wanted to know, what do I need to do to invest in heaven? What do I need to do to have eternal life? Somebody said that was a question. But listen how Jesus answers. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, not you, not mama, daddy. Now, none is good save one, that is God. And then he asks this question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Listen to what Jesus' response is. Thou knowest the commandments. In other words, you know the scriptures. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. Now, for you that do know the Ten Commandments and the order of the Ten Commandments, Jesus left out a whole bunch of commandments before he got there. But he gave him these five. Listen to the response of the young man. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth. In other words, man, I've been going to church. I've been going there listening to what they have to say. I've been reading the Bible. He went on, just letting him know, I've done all of those things. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Now, don't forget the question. What do I, and let's look at the word I for a minute. When you are talking and your conversation is always about I, that shows me that you are that person. Mm-hmm. That one that's stuck on yourself. That one that only considers yourself. And so this is what he said. What can I do to inherit eternal life? Well, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, you by yourself can't inherit eternal life. There's some things that must be done in your life in order for that to take place. But this young man says, what can I do to do it? What can I do to inherit this? Jesus says, thou lackest one thing. Just one. You said you did all of the scriptures? And Jesus could have cut him off by the very first commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And we look at this and we're going to find out he did have another God, but it was a small G-O-D. Listen, now when Jesus told him, yet lackest thou one thing, I can imagine the young man said, well, I did all what you said in the scriptures. In the commandments, what could I be lacking? And then when Jesus said this to him, sell. Have a liquidation sale. Get rid of everything. Sell all that thou hast and disperse. Now this is where it got touchy. Disperse them to the poor. And there's where it is. Is all about him, about his wealth, his bank account. And Jesus said, if you do this, thou shalt have treasures in heaven. In other words, you have eternal life. And then he said, come, follow me. The response then was, And when he heard this, because he was right there, live and in living color, just like I'm looking at y'all, he was looking at Jesus. And he heard what Jesus said. And when he heard this, the Bible said he was very sorry. Notice it didn't just say sorry, but he was very sorry. Why was he very sorry? Because he was very rich. That means he had a lot to give up. But he loved his money more than he loved God. I need to tell somebody this, because you are caught up in work. You're caught up to the point where you put your name on every list for every time there's a overtime spot. Oh, we get quiet in this apostolic tongue-talking church. You have begun to want money more than you want fellowship with God. You have desired now to have the bank account. That's the envy of the workforce. Man, when I used to work at SRS, I used to have guys that would take their pay stub and compare. Man, what you make this week? And I'm like, what? They wanted to see who made the most money in overtime. So when he heard this, the Bible said he was very sorry. Why was he very sorry? Because he was very rich. And when Jesus told him what he needed to do to inherit eternal life, I submit to you, he loved money more than he loved God. He loved things more than he loved God. Now, please, sir, ma'am, I have no problem with you being wealthy. Matter of fact, I have no problem with you being rich. But you better do what the Bible just told you to do. If you're rich, you need to disperse it. You need to give it to the poor. You need to help others that are less fortunate. Oh, y'all on Facebook, I'm glad I can't see y'all. YouTube. I need y'all to really understand that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not the money. See, y'all done got it twisted. The money has nothing to do with it. You know you need to make money to keep the lights on. Hello? Y'all need money to put food on the table. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the person that's got their priorities mixed up. They've got it so mixed up that all they can see is money, 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 money. This is one guy. He liked money so much, man. He said, man, I can't stand to have my money all wrinkled up. He would press his bills. For the love of money, the Bible said, is the root of all evil. See, when you make money, it's okay. But it's what you do with your money. That's the issue. Does God want you to have nice things? Yes. Talk back to me. Yes, he does. But he doesn't want you to have nice things to the tune of where your nice things put him to the side. Instead of you having it, it has you. It controls you. Oh, I know this is not the most popular message, but I'm trying to make this live. He asked Jesus a question. What can I do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do? She said, okay. You know the scriptures. You know the commandments. Do them. I've done them, man. I'm good to go. If Jesus would have started at the first commandment, that would have been the end of his story. But he didn't. He gave him grace so perhaps he would see himself. But he didn't. And so what Jesus did is counter him. You play chess. Boy, that was a good counter move right there. He said, okay, one thing you lack, go and sell all. Somebody say all.
All.
I sure would like to know how that would work out here today. If there was only one thing you were lacking and he made it known to you, you got a desire for money to get it any way you can. If it means missing church, they know. I got to make this money. I'm telling you, I never forget. And I'm just trying to make this live as much as I can. A brother, very faithful, not in this ministry, always in church every time they had service. I know especially when we went there to visit, he was a deacon at that time. He was charged with making sure the grounds were kept and making sure the doors were open when it was service time. And he was faithful to doing that. Somebody say he was faithful. And we would talk after service and he would just tell me the zeal he had for God and the ministry. And then I noticed a time or two we went to the services and he was gone. And I asked him, where did so-and-so? Somebody looked at me, dropped their head. I said, I don't know, where is he at? He said, bruh, because he was a contractor. He said, brother, he out there chasing that dollar. He don't have time for church no more. And when he heard this, he was very sad. Look at verse number 26. The disciples, don't forget, they were in earshot. They could hear Jesus' conversation. And when Jesus said that, and they heard it, they said, who then can be saved? Somebody, one of those deacons, please, I need you to come hold that poster board up that was given to me. Jesus makes a comment or statement, and he says, make sure he get the right one, Ms. Prescott, the one with the doors. As Jesus is having this discourse with the disciples, he says that it, verse 25, for it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying that, listen, you know they have these openings and livestock like camel go through. Now, this is what some theologians say, that there was a place known as the eye of the needle. And in order for the camel to go through that, he literally had to take up all of the things that he had on, all he was carrying, take them off, and then they would have to push him through. Now, brothers and sisters, these are different gates there. Now, as you can see, there are side doors, and then there's the actual entry gate. These are the entry gates. What Jesus probably was doing was saying, I'm going to make this live. I'm going to make an object lesson that you will never forget. And no doubt, maybe because he was a visual person and he knew that people needed visual stimulation, he probably pointed to one of those and said, it would be hard for a rich man to enter into heaven. And he used the illustration of a camel going through the eye of the needle. Now, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, I'd like to say to you, what if that was something he did? But what if he just literally meant the eye of a needle? Y'all know how some of us have a difficult time putting that thread through that needle. My wife had the audacity last night. I needed to hem my pants. She said, and I had the needle and the thread. She said, honey, you need to call Grace to thread that needle. I said, what? Man, I put on my specs. What about this? But you can see what he was actually saying is that it's because of why people want money. And their love for money would make it difficult for them to live for God. It would make it difficult to come to the house of God always and be on fire for God. And so he uses this illustration. Thank you, Conley, sir. And I'll leave you with this. He says, and they that heard it, every last one of you in here heard it. And even if you got an ear device, turn it up, because I need you to hear me. And when they heard this, this is what they said. Who can be saved? I'll tell you who can be saved. Somebody that understands that it's not you, sir. It's not me. It's not our works that save us. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. You can't work hard enough to get to heaven. The rich young ruler said, what can I do to inherit? It's nothing you can do but come to Jesus and surrender your life. And he, sir, ma'am, can cause you to have eternal life. In my closing, our souls are made in the image of God. And we'll spend time in eternity forever and evermore. So with that in mind, allow me to ask you these questions in closing. Where do you plan to spend eternity? Are you investing for eternity? And if so, how? And most importantly, are you sure of your salvation? And that it's leading you on the right side of eternity. Eternity in heaven is a free gift. Somebody shout, why?
Why?
I'm glad you asked. Because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed me whiter than snow. Jesus paid it all. It should have been you. It should have been me hanging up on the tree. But he took our place and provided for us a way to get eternal life. Now, can I get you to stand? With every head bowed, all eyes closed, I need you to ponder those questions. Ask yourself these questions and answer them internally. Where do you plan to spend eternity? Because eternity can be spent in one or two places, in heaven or in hell. The next question, are you investing for eternity? What are you doing now to make sure that you get there? And if so, how are you doing it? And most importantly, are you sure of your salvation? Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, Lord, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, except the man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If you've never repented of your sins or been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of those sins, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, today is a great day. I leave you with investing for eternity. The altars are open. If God begins to speak to you during this message and you found the need, I thought I was investing, but Lord, I realize I'm coming up short. Lord, I thought just me going to church was good, but now I heard something more. God bless you. You may be seated. Nobody's coming up. You be seated.
Thank you, Father. I got to give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.